أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and good morning and subh khair and sabah al khair and sabah al noor to all of you. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Alhamdulillah that again we are getting together in this Baytul Hussain, Salamullah alayhi, at Imam Hussain Islamic Center. By the grace of God, inshallah, continuing our talks and discussions, and may the Almighty God bless the speaker and all the respected brothers and sisters to practice what we talk and we listen about. The topic that I have, especially because of almost such a long gap that we've had in between, is basically to lay a foundation for all the practical fun sessions that we are going to have or we have had in the past. The topic again, this is not again a commercial, but inshallah we'll appreciate it as I talk, that the topic for today is definitely one of the very important topics. In fact, it's the foundation. There's a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam that he says that the topic of today is Nizamuddin, is the foundation of the religion of Islam. All what we will talk or we have spoken on practical Irfan depends on whether or not we have correctly dealt with the topic of today or not, whether we mean business in this topic or not. In a nutshell, the topic for today is to tame our desire. Tame your desire, or have intention to tame your desire. Otherwise, forget about practical irfan. Forget about self-purification, self-promotion, spiritual uplifting, and God forbid, forget about your eternal abode in paradise. There is an ayah in Surah An-Nazi'at that clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches on that. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. Only those who revere and respect and fear the status of Allah, the presence of God above them at all times and with them at all times, and as a result of that, ونهى النفس عن الهوى, and then they forbade their whim and their desire against hawa, that we'll talk about it, against, you know, just going with the whim and desire with whatever that I like or I wish, only such people, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَى, for such souls that they have tamed their desires, for such people that they have tamed and brought their whim and desire under the control of their intellect and the control of the teachings of the religion, for such people is paradise. Paradise is a destination. Other than that, impossible. I also like to base my topic, inshallah, this morning with one of the beautiful ahadith. This hadith is narrated from the Prophet of Islam, from Imam Ali alayhi salam, and from many of our imams. Of course, the source of all of them is the Holy Prophet of Islam, but the fact that they have repeated this hadith in more than one occasion, and we have this hadith from more than one Imam al-Ma'soom, clearly indicates and suggests the significance of the hadith. The hadith, in fact, is a sermon. In fact, this is one of the lectures of Imam Ali alayhi salam. The lecture is quite length, and elsewhere I have dealt with the context of that lecture when we are talking about the sciences of hadith from my memory. For this morning, I'm just quoting and sharing with you the beginning of the hadith. That Sulaym ibn Qais al-Hilali, he says the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, ascended the pulpit, gave a sermon, and in that sermon, after praising the Almighty God, He says that Ala inna akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum. Behold, lo and behold, of all things that me as your Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, as your Imam and leader, I'm concerned about them for you. Out of everything, there are two characters that are more concerned about them for you. I'm really scared about them for you, or scared whether you deal with these two correctly or not. And these are life-threatening matters related to your dunya and your akhirah. Khallatan, two characters. First, اتباعُ الهوى. Imam Ali alayhi salam is telling us, supposedly his lovers and followers, that I'm concerned for you, my dear follower and lover, whether you in this dunya, you are among those who go with their whim and desire, following the whim and desire, وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ, and you are of those people who have so many long projects in this dunya that never get a chance to pay attention to their religion. The wishes for related to your studying, wishes related to your business, related to your marriage, you postpone your Hajj as we are approaching. Now it's almost the Hajj time. I can't go this year because of all the projects that we have. طُولُ الْأَمَلِ, long wishes. Then the Imam says the problem of each one of them is that اتباعُ الْهَوَى, following the whim and desire, فَيَصُدُّ عَنِ الْحَقِّ, it prevents you, it delays you, it's deviating you from the right path, from the haq, from the truth. And long wishes, yunsil akhirah, long wishes, it makes us that we forget about the hereafter and we concentrate only on this dunya. Imam continues that, my dear friends, my dear followers, lovers, remember that there are children both for dunya and for akhirah. Yani people who give so much of their life for dunya and people who give so much for akhirah. فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَى الْآخِرَةِ, you make sure you be among those who are among the children of akhirah, meaning that whatever they do in their daily lives, they measure it based on the benefit in the hereafter, not just worldly benefits. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. So as you can see, the Imam, the fact that the Imam says, out of all issues, these two are the more scary one, that means that these two windows, we have to guard them more than anything else. اتباعُ الهوى, whether or not, in this talk that I have, my presence here, going to work, in my relation with my family, in whatever that I do, when and where and whether I am following my whim and desire, or I'm following the teachings of my religion. Let me first explain to you this expression that we have in the Quran and in the Ahadith a lot as well. And that is about اتباعُ الْهَوَى, following the whim. هَوَى, هَا, وَاوَ, and يَا has different meanings and all of them are related to each other. The first initial meaning of هَوَى in Arabic means سَقَطَى, when something falls and drops or sinks. We have this used in the Quran, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى, in Surah Al-Najm, that by the stars or the star, that when it's falling down. وَمَنْ يَحْلُلْ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبِي فَقَدْ هَوَى, whoever that my wrath and anger, God says, falls on him, فَقَدْ هَوَى, he fell and fails, obviously. So this one meaning, falling down. Hawa also means to have desire, inclination towards something. When Prophet Ibrahim fulfilled his mission and rebuilt the holy Kaaba with the assistance of his son, and then he was praying, among his prayers is, فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ, يَا رَبْ, I'm leaving this land, but make the hearts of people until the day of judgment, تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ, inclining towards my family. Tahwi is again from hawa, so it means when you incline towards something, that you become more desirous, more interested in something. Hawa also means vain in general, means whim, means desire, fantasy, and all these things. In a nutshell, when somebody acts as he or she wishes, or do whatever that they like it. Why do you have this food just because I like it? Why do you go there? I like it. The fact that somebody does something based on his own whim and desire, his liking, this is following the hawa. Interestingly, one of the names of hell is also hawiya. We have this in Surah Al-Qari'ah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. Whoever is scale of good deeds on the day of judgment is light. He didn't gain much in this dunya for his akhirah, and his scale of good deeds is very, very light. For such people, Quran says فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. Umm here, it means like destination. His destination is هَاوِيَةٌ. هَاوِيَةٌ means hell. But why hell is called hell? Remember I told you that hawa means when you drop some, when something falls and drops. Because it's just like, imagine that, God forbid, someone is standing on, you know, at the brink or at the edge of a pitfall, and someone pushing him down. That pitfall that is, you know, people fall into, it's called hawa, it's hell. Alright? So, in other words, by using of such terms, the Almighty God is telling us that following the whim and the desire means you'll be hellbound. Hawa will lead to hawiya. Following the hawa and the whim and the desire may push you and pull you into the, hellfire. Quran mentions clearly, as inshallah I'll go through some of the ayat, that this, no one is exempt from this. Scholars even are at the risk of following the whim and desire. Unless people are ma'soom and divinely protected, otherwise this whim and desire is in everyone, and everyone is supposed to tame it, to control it, each to their own. And that's why that the purpose of coming here this early in the morning, in fact, is to practice this mukhalifat al-hawa, disagreeing with our whim and desire. See, some people, they tell me that, and I received some emails already, that, Sheikh, why do you insist to have this practical on Sunday morning, for example? Why can't we have it in the evening, early in the evening, or Sunday noontime in the afternoon? More convenient for us to attend. They miss the point that, in fact, coming that early in the morning is part of the deal. And we made it still easy that it is Sunday morning. Most of us, Sunday morning we don't go to work. And there is no traffic. So there is no excuse that Sheikh, I have to drive for that long. The distance that you drive from tomorrow, the time that it takes you to drive, now this morning I'm sure you could make it in half of the time of that, you know, tomorrow or after tomorrow, working days, isn't it? And we don't have the excuse of, like, for Salat al-Jum'ah, some people, they say, Sheikh, I can't take a leave to attend Salat al-Jum'ah. I wish I could. I really love to attend Salat al-Jum'ah. Well, my friend, Sunday morning, most of us, we don't go to work. So the only challenge that really, in honesty, and prevents me from attending is whether I choose the cozy bed, or I choose to get up and or I have the willpower to get up, get ready, jump to my car and drive towards wherever the, you know, we have this program. And it really matters. Yes, it's possible also, especially we have these programs, inshallah, recorded. Someone may say that, oh, that's all right, I listen to the tape. As I'm driving tomorrow to work, I can listen to the tape and see what Sheikh was talking about. Again, don't get me wrong, that's even better than nothing. But if they really want to have an excuse to practice, to start from somewhere to practice, it really matters whether I come or not, especially if I have no valid excuse. Because this is just like sitting at home watching aerobics on my TV screen, or going to the gym and doing some exercises. Which one is going to get fit? So it really matters, brothers. I deliberately brought this one up to have an answer, inshallah, to that it really matters whether we leave the comfort zone of our home and our cozy bed and come out to attend. If you do so, already there's an achievement. Already you've achieved. Already you've shown that you have a willpower and you really mean it, and it's possible for you to tame your desire. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, controlling and taming our women desire, as I said, varies from person to person, from aspects of our life and to certain, and degrees of it even varies, you know. To start with, the very least minimum requirement that is definite, has to be done, and I have to work on it, is that I have no choice. If I really want to be among people of paradise, I have no choice in this dunya but to make sure that I control my whim and desire, to make sure that I do not become zalim, in a nutshell. This that I said, it covers so many different aspects. What do I mean by not becoming a zalim, a wrongdoer, oppressor, unfair? I make sure that I'm not zalim in the sense of my relation with God, not to worship other than God. See, the fact is that we as humans, we are desperate because we are needy. We cannot but to worship. We have to worship something and somebody. Mankind throughout the history, either they have been worshiping idols or God or right God or what they assume as God. Those who are worshipping other than God, Quran clearly says that they are zalimin. In fact, this is the worst type of zulm and wrongdoing and wrong belief. Now, Quran says that out of all wrong things that one may really worship, the worst is to worship the self, this desire, yani worship your enemy. This nafs, this desire that is provoking me to do wrong things, instead of taking him as an enemy, I turn around and worship him, prostrate before Shaitan. Shaitan is his enemy, and he prostrates before Shaitan, like what the Arab leaders, unfortunately, nowadays they do, and the misery that the Muslim nation is going through because of them. Instead of taking their enemies as their enemies, they are prostrating in practice and they're worshipping them. Quran says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ. That's Hawa that we're talking about. Do you see those that they take this whim, this desire, that they're supposed to tame it? They take it as their God, as the one to worship. How? I'll give you some examples. One example, to make this issue of women desire clear, see, there is a difference between need and between want. In the Western culture of consumerism, which is now becoming a global culture, unfortunately, liberalism, consumerism, capitalism, all they have their hands together. They are promoting and are encouraging us to do as you wish, to eat as you wish, whatever you wish. Unleash your women desire. Consumerism and liberalism, in fact, grows by that. Because people, they spend more and they want us to spend. The more I become the slave of my nafs and my desire, my whim, my wishes, the more, you know, their goods will be sold. That's why if you ask someone who smokes cigarette, I start from a very, you know, very obvious example that there's no question about it. You ask him that, why do you smoke? Does your body really need it? Not only doesn't need it, it needs not to smoke. But why is it that you smoke? Because I like it. At the end of the day, because you like, you enjoy it, supposedly, you like it. So I go with my whim and desire. Already we made it clear that if somebody wants to really get into practical Irfan, they have to start with something that at least is harmful for the body, is quit. There is a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. This hadith is difficult to really share it with you. I need it to support me with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Difficult for those who are so much, you know, influenced by the secular culture, not for you. The Prophet says, man akala ma yashtahi, wa labisa ma yashtahi, wa rakiba ma yashtahi, لَمْ يَنْظُرِ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَنْزَعْ وَيَتْرُكَ. Those who eat whatever they wish, just because I like it, I want to eat it. Huh? There is no measurement in it. There is no thing of whether my body really needs it or not. Eat as wishes. Those who dress and wear as they wish. Look, I can afford it. Brother, what's wrong with that? What's wrong having such an expensive, clothing or sister? I can afford it. But what about the poor? Yeah, I give something to the poor as well, but I can afford it, so I like to wear it, I wear it. I like this type of shoes, I like to wear it, I wear it. This type of clothes, whatever. So those who eat as they wish, wear as they wish, and drive as they wish, were rakiba ma yashtahi, he drives the car as he wishes, because he can afford, just simply because he can afford it. He can afford an expensive car, even though he can manage with less than that, but no, I like it. I don't want to give a name. If before I used to say Skyline, and some people, believe it or not, in the UK, they told me, Sheikh, what is Skyline? We don't, it seems that it's an Aussie car, I don't know. You name it. An expensive, I'm not talking about driving a shabby car, but yeah, that too expensive car that you can buy a couple of houses perhaps with. Or some other people, they can really benefit from those who eat as they wish, dress as they wish, drive as they wish. The Prophet says the Almighty God will not look at them, the look of mercy, until all their life, until they die. Unless they make a U-turn, unless they change their lifestyle. Yes, I can afford. In fact, if you can afford it, yet you drive less expensive than what you wish and desire, then there is a virtue in that. If you can afford it, yet you buy less expensive shoes or clothes as you can afford it, then there is a virtue. This is the lifestyle of the imams. This is called mukhalafatul hawa. This is called not going with your whim and desire. Otherwise, remember that the bedrock of practical irfan and spirituality, I would be missing it. This issue of going against our whim and desire is not only about haram, or what we understand from it to be haram. Yes, like astaghfirullah, going to do committing adultery. If someone says that I just like it, and I want to go for it. There's no one stopping, and nothing can stop me. I like to do it. This is a very horrible example of it. I'm ashamed to bring such example. This is an elite gathering that we have, and therefore I want to bring some examples that are more delicate to tell you that this issue really concerns, not that should, it does. This issue even concerns our scholars, eminent scholars. Very eminent scholars and maraj are concerned about this issue of ittiba' al-hawa. And that's why Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, in his famous hadith, in describing the characteristics of a marja', he says that on the condition that along with knowledge, he has also mukhalifan lihawa. He has also tamed himself so much that he goes against his whim and desire. So that his judgment is not clouded when he wants to write his fatwa. His fatwas and opinion is not based on personal interest at all. Should not be like that. Al-Allamah al-Hilli, rahmatullah alayhi, who was one of our eminent scholars in the 7th century, this Allamah al-Hilli was definitely a genius. At the age of 27, he became a marja' after his uncle Muhaqqiq al-Hilli. He became marja' at the age of what? Only 27, you think about it. Now, historically, in the book of Tahara, we have a discussion, long story short, that up until the time of Allama Hilli, our scholars, based on their understanding of some of the hadith, they used to believe that with regards to the issues related to well, if a najasa drops in a well water, the water of well becomes najis. How are we supposed to purify the well? They say by taking certain numbers of buckets of water from the well becomes tahir. You appreciate that those days there was no tap water in the houses, so people, they had well, and they used to get the water from it. All right? Now, depending on that najasa, for example, if a mouse drops in it, certain numbers of buckets. If there is, a dog dropped in it, or a cat dropped in it, or a cow possibly dropped in it, depending on the size and the type of the animal that becomes meat and drop dead in that world, we have to take more and more of the water of the well. Allama Hilli did a new research on this topic, and he said that I have to see whether this is an obligation or it's mustahab or there's no obligation in that. But what happens when he was doing his research, the well in his house, it happened that an animal dropped dead in it. His wife comes and says, Sheikhna, there is a dead animal, and according to famous fatwa, we have to get numbers of buckets of water. And you know, to them, that was like a big waste of water. Allama Hilli is contemplating, what am I supposed to do? My research is now, the well in my house is unconsciously influencing my judgment. Like getting involved in a family issue that one side is related to me, unconsciously is influencing my judgment. My judgment could be clouded, and therefore I could unknowingly follow my whim and desire. And I slip from the right path, as Imam Ali alayhi salam said it. Allama Hilli says that just cover the well. We don't want any well in my house for a while, until I finish my research, so that I'm not concerned about the well in my house. I want to have a pure scientific research on this topic. And he came with the conclusion, and his fatwa is known since then, and after that is taken by so many of our ulama, that is not wajib, there's no obligation in that. Now you compare this, mukhalif al-hawa I'm talking about, to the level of scholars. Compare this with type of researches that some of our researchers today, academic researchers today, that are funded by certain companies. A research that is funded by an alcoholic company, what are you expecting the result of that research to be? About a week ago, maybe you have read it, in Sydney Morning Herald, I was reading an article, really a very funny article, that a gynecologist in a seminar held in Sydney, he was promoting cesarean. And he was saying that cesarean is better than the natural delivery. Millenniums, women, they have been delivering their children naturally, and now all of a sudden this gynecologist has come and is trying to fool the world that this is better than natural delivery. And he was giving some funny examples or explanations that I'm ashamed to mention here. But the bottom line is that why do they say this? Because cesarean is more expensive. We make more money. Cesarean, there's a fixed time for it. I don't have to come to the hospital like 2 a.m. I can fix it, book her 8 a.m. in the morning, very convenient time, and it takes less time. All related to money. And that's why we say that following, this is an example of following women's desire. You really find so many examples. The more you think about it in our personal life, in the world that we are living, so much you see mankind is following just women's desire, going against what they know in their conscience that it is false, just because my desire will be satisfied based on that. Another example with Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I deliberately share with you these examples that, and inshallah we can. I don't need to tell you about fight your desire not to astaghfirullah commit adultery or drink alcohol. Things that are related to us more. See, in Islam we have so many ahadith, authentic ahadith that said, "Utruk al-mira'a walu wa in kunta muhiqan." Don't argue with people, even if you know you're right. At home, at war with your mates, if you see that's getting to an argument that there is no ending to it and you're not going to convince that person, will not accept it, even though you're right, just leave it. Leave it. Why? Because the problem that getting into argument and debate has, unfortunately, sometimes it leads us to, again, following our women's desire. Throughout, maybe in the beginning, the start of it was that I wanted to prove a right point. But as we go further into a debate and argument, it becomes who wins. It becomes who's right, who's wrong. And again, which means who is following his whim and desire. I want to satisfy my desire, that my nafs doesn't say that, look, you defeated me, you failed me. I don't want that, and therefore I do whatever I can to win over that person. This is wrong. This is again an example of following the whim and the desire. among our scholars of the past in the 10th century, now Allama Hilli was the 7th century, now this is the 10th century, Al-Muqaddas Al-Ardabili. Muqaddas is a title that they were given to someone who was really very pious person. In the scholarly world, we know him as Al-Muhaqqiq Al-Ardabili, but generally speaking, he's known as Muqaddas Al-Ardabili, a scholar who was really very, very pious. All right. One of his students also later on became a very eminent scholar on his own is Mullah Abdullah Shushtari. In Arabic they know him as Tustari. Anyway, one day Muqaddas Ardabili is delivering a lesson, a lecture. During the lecture, his student, he's also a very eminent student and a scholar, Abdullah Shushtari, he turns around and, comments on the teacher. The teacher answered him back, he was not convinced, he commented on the comment of the teacher. Upon that, Muqaddas Ardabili stopped. He said, all right, well, let's leave this in here and inshallah we can talk about it later on. And he finished the class, started making a move to go home. On the way, he called Mullah Abdullah Shushtari, his student, says that, do you mind we go for a walk together? He said, all right. Of course, he was not scared that something was going to happen to him. As they were walking away from the rest of the class and the students, Muqaddas Ardabili explained his points to him very thoroughly and convincing. So much so that Mullah Abdullah Shushtari was convinced, fully was convinced. Mullah Abdullah turned around and said, sir, Sheikhuna, why didn't you say that on the stage? I thought you needed to refer to your notes and you didn't remember the points clearly and you had to do a bit of more research. But, mashallah, you answered, you're right. Why didn't you say it on the stage? He said, I didn't say it on the stage because I was just worried I will answer you to prove it to the rest of the students that I'm superior to you in terms of my knowledge. I didn't want that. Subhanallah. Do you see how delicate, how fine it becomes? The issue of وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Only those who have really tamed and forbade their nafs, their whim and desire, they didn't go with their desire. Not just because I want to please myself, I'm answering you. I answer you because I want to educate you. And I can educate you in private. I didn't know to do, I didn't need to do that in public. Now, there's much more talk about it already. My time is over. Let me just sum it up and tell you that why is it that and what would be the fruit of this, really, if we work on it. If inshallah from today that alhamdulillah, you already have started it. As I said, by coming here, you have already started it to say that, Ya Rab, alhamdulillah, by your grace, I have this willpower to be able to tame my desire. My desire was to stay in bed. I came here. Keep it on. Keep on a good job. Continue that. Later on, be conscious of this. Anything happens in your life, see whether this is according to your whim and desire or is against your whim and desire. Make sure that we don't go just satisfying our whim and desire. Luqman, and this last inshallah point I'll make to you. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was asked that why Luqman, you know Surah Luqman that we have in the Quran, why Luqman is called Luqman al-Hakim, the wise? According to the most authentic riwayat, apparently he was not a prophet, but his status was close to the status of the prophets. He was the wise man and divinely protected. We believe that Isma is not only for the 14 Ma'asumin. Yes, Anbiya and the successors of Anbiya, they have to be Ma'asum. But is it that only them are Ma'asum? Not necessarily. Therefore, we believe Sayyidah Zainab Salamullah Alayha, she could be Ma'asum as well. Ali al-Akbar Salamullah Alayha could be Ma'asum as well. Fatima al-Ma'asuma, the sister of Imam Rida Alayhi Salam, that the Imam says she's Ma'asum. Alright? Now, going against whim and desire has the benefit, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Not only I will, inshallah, will be living in paradise. In this dunya, two important wings, two important characters Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to those who go against their whim and desire. The more they go against, the stronger these two characters become, the less. One is wisdom. وَعَتَيْنَا لُغْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, and the second is al-ismah. He will be divinely protected not to sin, not to make a mistake. God will look after him because he goes with God's desire, so to speak, not his own whim and desire. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in that hadith, he says that because Luqman spent his life يَتَعَلَّمُ مَا يَغْلَبُ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ, he spent learning how he can fight against his whim and desire. He learned the techniques and he practiced them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and help us all to learn the techniques, inshallah, of going against our whim and desire and put them into practice. Once again, I want to repeat this hadith, and perhaps you can bless your mouth with me to conclude the hadith of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. I say it, and please repeat after me. Ala inna akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum khallatan اتباع الهوى وطول الأمل. أما اتباع الهوى فيصد عن الحق, وأما طول الأمل فينسي الآخرة. Lo and behold, of all that I'm concerned for you, two characters are more scary, and I'm concerned and I'm scared of these two for you more than anything else: following the whim and desire, and the second, lying wishes. The problem of following the desire is that it will deviate us from the right path, and the second, the lying wishes, is that it makes us to, God forbid, forget about al-akhirah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.